Hello and welcome to Dream a Little. I'm your host, Lo, and I'm here to help you explain your weird kink in a not-so-weird way. When my boyfriend and I first started role-playing together, I remember everything was pretty sexual because we were doing more dom-sub type of play. But the tricky thing with the age play kink is that there are two different sides to it. Sometimes it's sexual, and sometimes it's not sexual at all. It's more sweet. And after speaking with some of the supporters of this show on Patreon, I realized this is a problem that a lot of us run into because a lot of us see it as a non-sexual thing in addition to being sexual. So getting comfortable with the non-sexual aspects is something you'll learn over time, like with me and my boyfriend, for example. As I directed him into the role and explained, you know, how it made me feel comfortable, safe, loved, he picked up that it wasn't just about the sex for me. Sex was a part of it, but not all the time. And that's an important concept for your partner to understand too. So what's the best way to explain it? Well, I suggest starting out by figuring out what exactly you like about it. Is it comforting? Does it make you feel loved, safe, cherished? These are all great adjectives that will help your partner understand better. And if your partner's familiar with BDSM or other types of role-playing, then they'll probably understand the concept of aftercare. Think about it. Aftercare is how you show your love after a scene ends. There's no sex involved. It's exactly as it sounds. You're just caring for your partner. It's not about being sexy. It's about being intimate. And instead of wording it like, I want you to baby me, try something like, I love feeling cherished and cared for in special ways. Like, I would love it if you could brush my hair. I think that could be really sweet. You want to give your partner specific examples of non-sexual activities that you can do. And the reason why I love some of the examples I'm going to give you are because they're not very kinky. In fact, they're things that are super easy to start implementing and to help them understand better. Try using hypotheticals while you're explaining it to paint the picture. And as always, start by using a more watered-down example. Like, oh, I would love to get one of those adult coloring books that they sell at Target. Or like I said earlier, I'd love if you could brush my hair, or if we could read this book together, or if we could cuddle or build a blanket fort, or if you could play with my hair, give me forehead kisses, tuck me in at night, pick out my clothes in the morning, give me a bath, cut up my food. All of these are super easy things to do, but the important thing is you've got to plant the seed in order for them to understand it. If you don't give them concrete examples, it's going to be really, really hard for them to grasp the concept. So make it fun and make it easy. I found a lot of people have issues with communication and no one's perfect at it, although I'll admit my boyfriend's pretty damn good. Like, he's one of the best I've seen. But for me, communication has never come naturally. I mean, growing up, my mom would leave passive-aggressive post-it notes around the house because she didn't know how to communicate with me. And I was grateful for that because I hate conflict. But the thing is that this conversation doesn't have to be or have conflict or any aggression. So if your partner still tries to get sexual while they're doing these things, then it's honestly as simple as telling them something like, hey, I really appreciate you doing these things with me. I love that you're so open-minded. But to be honest, part of me really enjoys some of these things being separate from sex. These things aren't a turn-on for me. They're more of a comfort thing that makes me feel really safe and loved. As obvious as it sounds, you've just got to explain it to them in a way that doesn't scare them off or make them think this is a need or an unhealthy obsession for you. And the way that you do that is by brushing up on those communication skills. And if they have any questions after that, just be open and be honest with them. Another way to open up the conversation is by bringing up the 5 love languages. If you haven't read this book yet or you're not familiar with it, it's a great read. I'm going to link in the show notes to my Audible page where you can actually use the link to get this book for free, audiobook. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks because it's like, who has time to read anymore? When you have a podcast like this, you can multitask and listen to it while you're driving, while you're folding the laundry, where you're petting your pet, or if you're traveling, it's just awesome. So I'm not sure if I'll ever go back to reading physical books again. So again, I'll link to this in the show notes at thelittlelounge.com/81download, where you can get this for free. Anyway, definitely read up on The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I've talked about this multiple times on the show, so I'll keep it brief, but essentially there are five different ways people can show love: gifts, touch, words of affirmation, quality time, and acts of service. We all show love in every single one of these ways, but there's usually one primary love language we each have. For me, I think it's acts of service. So find out what your love language is and express how your love tank could be filled by doing something. The point is, we all have ways in which we prefer and give and receive love. For some of us, it's a compliment. For the rest of us, it's as simple as a teddy bear and a blanket. So whatever it is for you, just tell your partner about it. They'll probably be grateful because you just made loving you even easier. And whenever your partner does something that you like, and when they do something in the right direction, don't just let it slide. Tell them how happy it makes you. Do a little dance, light up your smile, tell them how much you appreciate it. I say this often, but it's true. Positive reinforcement really works a lot better than negative reinforcement. So whenever you can have an interaction with your partner, praise them for doing a great job. And if they do something you don't particularly like, just cut them some slack. And it works best if you just ignore that behavior. It's true what they say. You attract more bees with honey than vinegar. You're more likely to get what you want when you're sweet. And I learned this to be true when I was in fourth grade. I remember it so silly. No, I was probably older. I was probably in seventh grade. My mom had promised me that she'd take me shopping for thongs after school. And back in the day, this was a huge deal because I was the only girl in my grade who was wearing granny panties in the locker room. So, you know, it was Wednesday night and my mom had promised to take me. And the night rolls around and my mom told me she was just too tired to go to the store. So rather than, you know, acting out or trying to guilt trip her into taking me, I had this plan because I remembered someone mentioning you attract more bees with honey than vinegar. So I was going to see if this honey thing worked. So after dinner that night, I cleaned up the kitchen extra good. And trust me, before this, I was so bad at cleaning, I would just half-ass it. So I made sure every dish was spotless. I swept every crumb off the floor. And, you know, I was working on the kitchen for like 30 minutes and it was sparkling. So I just sneakily just snuck upstairs, like acting as if, oh, it's no big deal. I just cleaned the whole kitchen. Sure enough, like an hour later, my mom calls me downstairs and she goes, "Grab your shoes. I'm taking you to TJ Maxx." And I was like, sweet, it worked. And that's when I realized it's true. If you're coming from a place of lack, like it's not enough, nothing's good enough, it's going to be extremely hard for your partner to want to change. But if you show them that you appreciate them through your actions and your words, it's going to make it much easier for them to understand what you're saying and really, really hear it. Be grateful for what you have. I think it was Oprah who said this. When you're grateful, there will always be more. But when you're focused on what you don't have, there will never be enough. And I probably butchered that, but you get the idea. Don't forget that there are people all around the world who are doing better or worse than you. So don't try to compare yourself to someone else's life. It really doesn't do anyone any good. To wrap up this episode, just remember that people are more open to change when they feel loved and appreciated. To find out how you can figure out what your partner's love language is and show them love in the way that they prefer, head over to thelittlelounge.com/81download. That's thelittlelounge.com/81download. There, you'll find a summary of this episode along with a link to download my free guide, The Five Love Languages Explained. By the way, if you have a specific question or you just want to connect with me, head over to patreon.com/dreamalittle. I'll see you there.